PNG and Telecom will turn our attention to future phones. Next.
Ahoy, ahoy. No, you have the wrong number. This is 5246. I suspect you need more practice working your telephone machine. Not at all. Ahoy.
It's just not cricket.
With Glenn Greensmith.
On ABC Radio. I'm sitting at the bus stop and I'm looking at my phone. Looking at my phone. Looking at my phone. There's people all around me and I'm all alone. Looking at my phone. There's certainly pluses and negatives to the sheer escalation of phones in our lives. How many of you are listening to your wireless right now, having a sneaky little look, playing a game,
I'm sitting at the cafe and I'm looking at my phone,
scrolling,
looking at my phone.
On behalf of all of us, if you're one of these people, turn that off. You've got to turn it off. You cannot leave that on. Phones have come an extraordinarily long way since 1876. It loved having a look at old phones. But let's look at newer phones. It's 20 past right now here on It's Just Not Cricket, ABC Radio right across Australia. And welcome back to the program, Maurice Mizalowski, business futurist. How are you?
I'm excellent, and it is so good to be back.
Are you a phone fan, Maurice?
Oh, look, I don't think we can live our lives without a phone. Am I a fan of it? It depends on what time of day it is and what I want to get through.
Well, that's a bit. We're learning to ever more compartmentalise our phones, aren't we? And I was saying that, you know, we were talking about old phones there, and we're thinking of the old, you know, I was saying 10 minutes to dial the actual number, but the technology's moved so fast that even noises like this start to seem a little vintage.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where have they gone?
Yeah, it's real nostalgia.
It's become incredible nostalgia. So it's 2017. You know, where is this technology going, Maurice?
Well, it's actually going, it's disappearing is where it's going. I think that within about 5 or 6 years, very few of us will actually have a phone as we now know it. If you ask most people, the feature they use nearly the least on their mobile phone, it in fact is a phone. It shouldn't even be called a mobile phone. They rarely get calls and rarely make calls on them.
It's so true.
So what we will have certainly is a communication tool. We'll have the ability to make what we now call a phone call, but increasingly the percentages are that more people now use text messaging than make phone calls on their mobile phone. I don't think that's a good thing. I mean, that kind of makes me crazy, and I don't enjoy that at all. In fact, I do the opposite. I love when people text message me to phone them back. And they find that to be extraordinary. But that's the way most people are headed. So what we'll find is that the mobile phone, as we call it, which really is just a portable computer, will eventually disappear too, and it will become a myriad of different objects. In fact, by about 2025, somewhere there, we must probably will carry on us 9 different communication tools at any one time.
What do you mean?
So what we're going to do is we're going to have things inside of our clothes, inside of our shoes, in the hat that we wear, maybe in the handbag that we've got. All of them are doing different things. So our shoes, for instance, might have some technology in it that's looking at how we're walking and how far we're walking, how fast we're walking, how many calories we have. We might have clothes on us that are monitoring the weather, and they will be able to change the garment's thickness and its ability to keep us cold or warm. In our handbag, it might be doing GPS for us. I know this sounds all wacky and weird, and we're going science fiction. I get that. But I also get that in 10 years, we'll think this is quite ordinary. So all of these devices will have some ability to communicate, but what we're moving to, the most important shift now, is what I refer to as DC, digital concierges. And our technology is now getting to the point where it actually knows what we want to do before we do. And Google Maps is a great example of that. We used to tell it where we wanted to go. Now it tells us where to go, literally. You know, don't take this road, go down here, the traffic's bad there, stop off on the way to pick up, your wife wants some bread or whatever. Those types of things are going to be more of the communications that we have. So our device, in whatever format it is, will actually do the calling, do the basic interactions for us.
On the way here this morning, as I got into my car, I sort of took my phone out of my pocket to
put it away, and it said on it, you know, take such and such freeway, traffic is light. And I thought, how do you know where I'm going?
Yeah, it's incredible. Now, it knows where you're going because you've given it permission. Now, I know you may not have said to it you're allowed to do it, but it's one of those tick boxes that you've done somewhere all those years ago allows it to know in your diary, perhaps, where that appointment is, or something in your communication. It might be the emails, but something's triggered off an address. And Google, particularly, without permission, is very good at mining that information and putting it into its context. So there was an email a couple of weeks ago, and Glenn had this appointment at 10 o'clock somewhere. And it knows, getting closer to 10 o'clock, that's most likely where you're headed, and begins to assemble the information you need to be able to do that journey.
My guest is Morris Mizalovsky. He's a business futurist, and he's kind of blowing my mind. I don't know about you here on It's Just Not Cricket, ABC Radio right across Australia. We've been talking old phones now. We're talking new phones, and it's quite extraordinary what's going on. Is there going to be, in your view, now you're a business futurist, so you're tied in and so tagged and so part of this movement, but will there be, in your view, when you're talking to ordinary punters, and you've got obviously young people, but people, let's say over 40, our demographic, if you like, will there be a backlash? Will they say, you know what, that's enough tech for me?
I hope so.
I want you to know everything I'm doing.
Yeah, look, I hope so, but the answer's no. I mean, I hope so, and I don't believe in a dystopian world. We've talked often about that. I don't think computers and all this will be our overlords, and they don't demand us to do these things. But humans, and I should just personalise this back to me, because nobody else is, but I'm really lazy. If something else or somebody else can do it for me, I kind of default to that. And that's where technology's gotten to. Yes, we sit there and we say, how did it know where we're going? And this is terrible. And I'm going to write to somebody and protest from the roofs. But when it tells us to take a road that's less busy and we've done it and it's worked, we're kind of happy. So it's this playoff that we have. And yes, I'm hoping that we move back to a softer, gentler world that I don't think ever existed, but romantically is one that we hanker for. And let's turn off the things. I mean, we should have great sabbaticals and learn to turn off phones.
Again, the digital detox.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking about that.
Yeah.
What a big part of new holidays that is.
But that's a human thing, and we really have to get back to being human. I really am disappointed often when it comes back to the technology telling us not to do it. It kind of defeats the whole conversation. I mean, we're talking about technology overriding us, and then we're talking about technology stopping us doing it. Be human. Find the off button and use it.
Will, you're talking about the way that we are using phones being so little to do with phone calls. And I agree with you, that art of conversation. I teach, I'm a university lecturer, and I teach radio, and I teach students how to talk on the phone, and I teach them the importance of conversation, and I say to get hold of information, pick up the phone and speak to humans. That's how we do it, because they want to send emails or messages or texts, and I go, no, you're not going to learn that here. And they all really respond well to it. They're all slightly terrified, but once they throw themselves in, and they all go, wow, I'm really glad I'm better at talking. Will the technology that you're talking about maybe allow a bit of a shift back to conversation? Will if we put, I'm thinking of a phone in my lapel or my collar, can I just press a button and call my wife? And can the tech make it easier for us to start talking to each other?
Yeah, absolutely, except forget the bit about pressing something. It'll just happen automatically. We already have devices literally right now that you can just talk to and set them off. Siri's an example of that. Google's advertising one at the moment. When our friends from Amazon come in, they have a wonderful one called Amazon Echo. All of these are sub $200. They're not things we carry around, but they're like a little speaker that we might have, a little Bluetooth speaker at the moment. And when you talk to it, you can trigger it off. So what you're describing, the answer is yes, but it will be more conversational. Our technology over the last couple of years, but in retail, in other words, things that we can buy, are all trending towards conversation, not turning on and off, but it being ambient, always on and waiting for us to say something.
So just there with us, connected to us as we're connected to it.
Yeah, it's kind of like my pesky kids, always around. You know, they're always there, except for when you need
only
them.
Only when you don't want them. Only when you're trying to do something. When you need them, they won't be there.
Yeah, I think technology's often like that too.
What's the most exciting development? Let's be positive about it. In 5 years' time, when you are talking about the way that you know the tech is going, what's the thing that we're going to be most happy about?
I think that it truly will be the factor that this DC, this digital concierge, will know enough about us to format our day for us. So the mundaneness of it will disappear, making sure that our house is locked as we walk out the door, making sure our car's available, finding the petrol station when we're about to run out of petrol. The things that we kind of angst a lot about, not quite sure how we'll resolve, technology, if we allow it to and if we want it to, will take its role in doing that. And I know we start talking off the phone, but we're on mobile phones and we're on the incarnation or the evolution of those. And that's where this thing is headed, a true intermediary between us and the outside world.
It's one of those great subjects, Maurice, that we could probably do this every year because there'll be something new to talk about. So we'll keep in touch. It's always great to have you on the program. When was the last time somebody left you a voicemail?
They actually left me a voicemail yesterday, and that was the first one I'd had for a very long time.
I was going to say, did you listen to it? Did you curse them for leaving it?
They actually left me two. It was so anxious, but I was on stage giving a keynote, so I couldn't answer it, but never mind, it wasn't all that important.
It's one of those things that somebody leaves me a voicemail now, I'm like, damn it, now I have to go and listen to the voicemail, but it's how far we've come. Mate, great to talk to you.
And to you.
All the best. Maurice Mizalovsky, been on the program many times, great guy, a business futurist, as we celebrated the anniversary of the death of Alexander Graham Bell.